Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How does life insurance work? Let's go in-depth with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency, Knoxville. Who needs life insurance?
Well, the quick, easy answer would almost be everybody, but that's not quite accurate. I would say the folks that definitely need to be looking at life insurance are those that have loved ones that would be missing something if they were gone, missing something like future college education, missing income, missing just being able to pay the bills. So we always look at what's the need. What would the need be if an income earner were gone?
So if I'm like an old guy all by myself, no family, that might be a situation you're describing, but everybody else would that has loved ones and family that depends on them in some way needs life insurance.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm saying. There are some times where somebody may not need it, and oftentimes we'll hear somebody say, well, I've got a lot of money, so I don't need it. And that's maybe true and maybe not true, but what we try to back into is, where is that money? Is that money tied up in a farm? Is that money tied up in a retirement plan where the beneficiary is going to have to pay taxes to get that money? Can we do a service for our beneficiaries by having life insurance in place as opposed to making them cash in something right away? So it is more of a one-on-one conversation just to determine what the situation is for the person. But yeah, most people need insurance, and most people don't have enough insurance.
Well, how much is enough insurance?
That's a good question. Again, it's individualized to each person and their needs. You know, somebody that's got two small children with aspirations of going to college, and maybe they're the major income earner of the household, definitely has different needs for life insurance than, say, a husband and wife that are 50. However, the husband and wife that are 50 most likely still need some insurance as well, because if an income earner is gone, they've got a substantial amount of time left to replace that income and maybe to replace a mortgage or health insurance expenses or whatever their specific needs are.
And so just sitting here thinking about what you're saying, it sort of seems like you have to add everything up that you would earn between now and whenever you want to be covered for, and then figure out how much a month that would be for that lump sum.
Yeah,
is that right?
Essentially, what we often do is we take a look at what are the monthly expenses and where's that money coming from. And then we take a look at, well, how long of a time frame do we think we need to replace this for? Do we need to replace college? Do we need to pay off a mortgage? Do we need to pay off a car loan? Do we need to pay off student loans? And kind of back into the number of how much life insurance we need based on what their needs are and the length of time that we anticipate that need. Use college for an example. That's not necessarily something saying we need to replace income for 20 years, but we need a set dollar amount, at least best as we can estimate what that college tuition will be.
It's a kind of an investment, right? Is that how you see it?
You could kind of look at it that way. You could almost look at it as an investment in your loved ones. It's you're buying protection for those that you leave behind.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about life insurance with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency. One of the things that strikes me is I don't exactly know how the math works. It seems like you get this big paycheck for a little bit a month, especially if you're a young person. You get this big payout,
yeah,
you know, for like 20 or 30 bucks a month. How does that all work out?
Well, if you're looking at term insurance, essentially they're banking on the fact, their actuaries are banking on the fact that maybe you won't, that you will live throughout that time period. So they're looking at actuarial tables to best estimate the probability that you will live. As one person once said to me, he says, "So if I die in these next 20 years, then I win." Which is an odd way to look at it, but yeah, in term scenario, there's a lot of folks that pay their premium and never cash in, and that will allow them to keep those premiums down.
They pay their premium but never cash in. That would suggest that they're immortal.
Well, let's say that today, if you bought a 10-year term policy, that means that your premium is locked in for the next 10 years. It's not going to go up. It's not going to go down. It's not going to go away. But at the end of 10 years, your premium changes. Now, oftentimes, people will quit buying that insurance at the end of that term. Maybe their need is gone. Maybe they just bought this term policy to cover the next 10 years of their mortgage, and at the end of 10 years, their mortgage is gone, and they don't want that specific policy anymore. Maybe they've got other policies in place already. So oftentimes we'll buy a term for a specific need.
I see.
And if you don't die, you live through that 10-year period, then the insurance company has collected those premiums but not had to pay out a claim. Which for you, it was you bought protection for 10 years. You bought the knowledge that if you were to pass away over that time frame, that your loved ones wouldn't be stuck with that burden.
And so a lot of that might be of the people that don't cash in, as you say. I understand that now. It's sort of subsidizing lower rates for everybody. Is that right?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. That's what the actuaries get paid to do, is to calculate the risk that the company is taking on.
Okay, and as one might expect, rates will go up as you age.
Yes. Now if you buy a term policy, that rate is set. It's not going to go up each year that you get older. Now, if you wait 2 years to buy that policy, you're now 2 years older, and it's most likely going to be more expensive at that time. Now, as companies continue to get better, I can't say that that's necessarily true, because to purchase a term policy today is oftentimes cheaper than it was 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I would say if you own a life insurance policy and haven't had it reviewed in a couple of years, you should have it reviewed. I think it's like any other insurance you buy. You should sit down with your agent. Any other investments, you should sit down with your advisor and just discuss it and say, hey, is there anything else I should be doing or should look at? Allow them the ability to discuss if anything's changed in your life as well. Oftentimes we buy what we think is enough insurance and then sit it and forget it and just say, oh, I've got life insurance, I don't need anything else.
That $250,000 life insurance policy that you took out in 1976 isn't quite
what it
was then. The money's changed.
Exactly. And what we see even more than that is the $25,000 policy that you bought in 1985, and you think you've still got enough life insurance, may not be the case. It may pay for the funeral and some final expenses, but not to offset loss of income or Social Security or whatever else they need to protect.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about life insurance with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency. Well, how about couples? Let's say that one of the couples, let's say one makes a lot more than the other. Do you calibrate? How do you work that out with the family?
We'll go back to, what are the expenses? What do we need to replace? What are we looking to cover? Do we need to pay off debts? Do we need to replace income? And each situation is different. You know, you may have one couple that, say one makes $100,000 and the other makes $20,000, and you might have another couple with the same amount of income, but couple A has $1 million in their investment account. They may have a different need than the other couple. So we just have to back into that and try and determine what is the need. We don't want to overinsure, but we want to make sure that there's enough coverage also.
And so let's say it's the highest wage earner, do you pay to replace that person's income rather than the lower wage earner? Is that what you shoot for, the I mean, you have to if you want both of their incomes, if you need both their incomes, I guess you have to cover the higher income.
You would cover both. You would buy a larger policy for your larger income earner and a smaller policy for your smaller income earner so that both are protected. You think about a young couple that maybe one makes a great income and the other work stays at home with the kids. Oftentimes, folks will want to replace the income for the income earner. But what we don't think about is what happens if the one that stays at home is no longer with us. Now we've got to hire daycare, and we've got other household expenses that we didn't have before. Mm-hmm. So there is a definite need, and sometimes just about as great on both sides.
Now, one often reads about different types of insurance, like term versus whole life, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference in my perception is that society's perceptions of these have changed since I was a kid. Is that right?
They really have. There's been a lot of adaptations to life insurance with universal life and variable universal life and indexed universal life and whole life and term life. And what our job as agents is to sit down with each client and just determine what type of insurance is best for their budget, for their future. If it needs to be an investment asset as well, or if it's simply to cover an expense for a period of time. There's so much differences in the policies, and there's so many different types and different companies. The clients need to know what they're buying and understand it. And that's oftentimes, back to your question, is that's the difficult part, is there's so many different things that we will oftentimes complicate it and confuse people to the detriment. And we've got to do a better job of explaining what those life insurance policies are.
Well, and it must be different based upon everybody that walks in your door, in the sense that you and I have known each other long enough, you could say, Bob, here is what you need to do.
Exactly.
I mean, you could tell me that. You'd be comfortable with that?
Yes.
And so you know the personalities of some of the people. How about other people? How do you handle that?
If somebody just walked in off the street right now, we'd just start the conversation. I'd want to get to know them a little bit better, because it's a personal relationship, and we've got to understand where they're coming from and what they're comfortable with to be able to put together the right life insurance portfolio for them. And I use the term life insurance portfolio because it is a lot like your investment portfolio. It's got to be built to you. It's not, you don't just go to the life insurance store and pull something off the shelf and go to the check to the cashier. It's got to be built for you. So we want to start off with getting to know the client a little bit. We need to understand their income, their expenses, their loans, what would their loss mean to their loved ones. And then we've got to kind of dial in and figure out, well, how much can they afford, and how do we take what they're able to afford and back into the life insurance policies to determine what's the best fit.
And you can't build that kind of relationship like on the internet.
Boy, there's companies out there doing it, and people are buying it on the internet, but how do you know if you're getting the right coverage, if you're getting the right death benefit, if you're covering for the right term? You may not know if it's convertible. That's another term that we throw out there, term life insurance. If you're working with the right companies, could be convertible to a permanent policy. So let's go back to the 10-year example earlier. You buy a 10-year term, and let's say in year 9 you have terminal cancer and you may live 2 years. Well, what do you do with that life insurance policy? You could convert it if you've purchased with the right company to a permanent policy. It's going to cost you more, but you can convert it to a permanent policy to make sure that you've still got coverage in place to protect for the future.
Any last words of advice to our listeners today?
I think the biggest thing is just people think it's too expensive, so they don't want to sit down and talk about it. Sit down and talk about it with your agent, with your advisor, and just at least get some quotes to get started. If you don't have it, if you do have it, get it reviewed, because things do change, needs change, and products change, and maybe there's something else better for you out there. But back to the folks that don't have it, you can buy term insurance relatively cheap. You really can. And like for us, we work with 20-some-odd companies, so we can go out and shop it for you, and just like the guys on the internet, but except for you can do it here with your local agent.
Thanks to Todd Chambers for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.